Welcome back to the EOT Newsflash Network. This is Sean Busted Sleeves. We're coming back to kick the show back off. I know we've been on hiatus for a little bit. I'm joined tonight with Stephen Pierce over here.
How's it going, everybody?
So we have been on a little bit of a break. Alex, the founder of EOT, is stepping away for a little while. He might be back on a bit, but Steven and I didn't want to let the show just kind of die off. So we're going to be picking up a lot of the recording and editing and marketing and so forth, as well as still having Justin involved and some other potential guests that have talked about coming on. But we, while we get the show kicked back up, we're going to be looking to make it have a little more active videos and some different interactions. So if there's anything you wanted to see content wise, you want to see changes as far as how we do our video and podcasts, or you have topics, things like that, that you want us to revisit we used to do and we stopped, or we've never touched and you want to see people do it because you think that's it's missing in the community, definitely please let us know on our Twitter and our Facebook. And Steven is working on a Discord channel. So tell us a little more about what we're going to get out of that, Steven.
So basically just be a like another source for all things EOT. I know it's Discord's heavily used by gamers and stuff. So if you already have channels that you're connected to there, it'll just be something else you can add and chat with us on, you know, a daily basis if you want. I'm on Discord pretty much every day after work. So
awesome.
Be easy communication.
Nice. So just another way to reach out. Just want to find wherever you're at. That's how we want to reach you. So kicking back in, we're gonna dive back in. We're trying to get our shows pretty streamlined as far as what we're gonna do. To start off, not exactly Magic the Gathering related, which is normally our forte, but we had the new big Adventures of Alex that we need to touch base on.
Yeah, so come to find out, Alex was inspired by news bulletins for The Martian, you know, way back when, and he decided to go help Watney replace one of the spare tires on his rover. So his voyage to Mars is well underway, but no one has mentioned that The Martian was just a movie. So stay tuned for more.
Yeah, no, we all know he's a big fan of the films, so he's going to dive right in head first. That's kind of his forte.
Yeah, he didn't wait for the trailer to finish. He was just like, oh, got to go help this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, he's, you know, damn next to the launch site, so probably hopped on, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully we're going to get an update every week of where he's at. Whether or not he stays in space, we'll remain to be seen. So, moving forward, we got video game news that isn't exactly Magic the Gathering related, but is pretty big. I know Justin was pretty excited about the news. EA Sports, if you follow Star Wars, video games, entertainment in general, they came out with EA Sports Battlefront 2, and I know Battlefront 1, I only played a little bit, was pretty unpopular because of the lack of a solo campaign and all these other like microtransactions. And the game came out and they were announcing that the microtransactions were going to be massive. Like if you wanted to get Darth Vader, you're going to have to pay like $100 to get Darth Vader. Same for Luke Skywalker, or put in some absurd like 40,000 hour campaign in order to unlock enough points to get them.
It was 40 to 60 hours worth of gameplay on a game that you already pay full price for, which is like pretty ridiculous.
It was a 40 to 60 and, like per character, per like just
yeah,
for Darth Vader,
character.
Right? Yeah,
yep.
That's what it is. So, I mean, it's one of those things that a lot of people got up in arms about. It went to Twitter. It got to the point where, like, you had government politicians and senators and stuff commenting on it. And I guarantee you they have no idea what this is, but they were commenting on how unokay it was. And there's even been reports that, like, some countries and states have talked about making their loot boxes become labeled as a gambling system. Because
I think that would be pretty great.
Yeah.
Just because it takes it out of gaming. Because I don't... like RuneScape did this a while back and that like destroyed the community, and like you actually saw a split to old school RuneScape and RuneScape 3, and like old school doesn't have it and the community is thriving and the new one does and it's like just barely hanging on.
Yeah,
it's just not what gamers want.
No, they don't want to. They don't. So there's the old adage of F2P, P2W. So free to play, play to win, or pay to win. So with these loot boxes, because you can't really offload what you get out of these boxes, you get randomized things. You're basically paying large sums of money to roll this lottery to see if you get the items that are good. And if you don't, then you pay more cash to do it. So like, a lot of games have like this randomization. Destiny, historically, whenever you go on an adventure, you get a random weapon that you get to unlock. But you're not paying money to go on this adventure and to buy that prize at the end. You just have to win the level. But this game was actually like, you pay us money, otherwise you have to put in absurd hours to unlock any of these cards or these characters.
Yeah, which like a progressional level system is fine, but the fact that they were just completely foregoing saying you get all of your experience and all of your like perks through these loot boxes, like the Call of Duty system is like was great, where just like you got a level, then you got to pick a perk, so you were actually able to get the loadout you wanted relatively quickly. But I mean, the games have been straying away from that because they realize that all these microtransactions and all these free-to-play games are just making bank off all these loot box and
Yeah, it's
small purchases.
well. I was actually listening to a podcast the other day that was, I can't remember which one it was, but they were actually talking about the fact, I think it was Weekly Planet, the fact that people, so it really preys on, people who are fans, like they're gonna spend a lot of money, but also if you think about it, like kid gets mom and dad's credit card because mom and dad's like, yeah, you could
Yep.
spend a couple bucks on some loot boxes. Man, kids can get addicted to the excitement of the flash of the light of the spin of
Oh
this
yeah.
thing where like. This all this stuff just comes flying out of this box, and you get because they normally make it really like visually impactful to open up prizes on games, and so it seems like with Hearthstone, everything like flashes and spins, and so you get these kids who just start just spending money on loot boxes that they don't understand. They get this like rush of just gambling for stuff, and it's really bad for the community to have to pay to win games. Like you can make it where like paying could speed it up, but paying flat out large sums of money to win games. Or having to
No, I
pay to
don't think
roll
you should
dice
be able to
sucks.
speed it up at all. Like that was actually a problem with RuneScape, is they introduced bonus experience, just 2 times your experience gain, and like that destroyed like a lot of the traditional leveling system, because there are people who like prided themselves in like maximizing a certain skill in an amount of time, but like that like just got completely destroyed with the new system. Like I don't think any jump in the game, it should be entirely cosmetic.
But so from the perspective I'm coming from, because I haven't played like RuneScapes any a lot of those things, is
Yeah.
from a Hearthstone and Magic perspective, which
Yeah,
is
that's fair.
you can win without buying things, but you can spend some money to get some cards to make yourself more competitive. I've never spent a dime on Hearthstone. I pride myself on that. I haven't reached legend rank yet because I'm having to grind my way to dust to with free packs to grind myself to good gold cards. And with Magic the Gathering, like, yeah, I mean, like, think if you think about it, if you treated it the same way, where you can only ever play Magic the Gathering with booster packs you got from winning at FNMs, minus the starter deck you got the first time you started playing, it's really hard to succeed, you know? So, like, you from that perspective, I'm okay with it because, like, you are not necessarily buying experience points, but buying items that make your character better because it would be the same as at Magic the Gathering is saying. Here's a starter deck. Whatever you win in an FNM, that's all you can ever play with. So you have to do real well and run hot. Unless you,
Yeah.
but giving the option to buy singles changes the game. So I'm okay with it some, but Battlefront went like way too far. So like it really crushed their economy and it actually had some pretty bad impact on their business. Well, they had a lot of stock impacts. What were some of the stock impacts?
Yeah, it was like a 3.1 billion loss in stocks over like their total shares or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty insane.
That's a huge
But I
cut.
really I'm really glad this happened though, because games returning to this, but they see that gamers really don't want it. I hope that it'll stay out of games, please.
Yeah, like so the biggest thing, first thing I thought of, and it's not nearly that bad, but the first thing I thought of was, Hearthstone,
MTG Arena as well.
and coming up we have MTG Arena that's very similar. And so we
Yeah.
You have Hearthstone where you can buy booster packs and you can win booster packs, but if you open a bad card, you dust the card and you get a very small percentage of what the card's worth. So if you're buying packs, you're rolling the dice, hoping to open the gold cards and the purple cards, and if you're not getting them, then you're dusting them at a really poor rate to try to purchase the cards individually because there is no singles market on those games. They haven't announced exactly how Arena's working. So the first thing I thought when I saw all this news going on, and when I saw like people were starting, like government officials, senators were starting to talk about loot boxes and games being considered gambling, Magic the Gathering very hardcore wants to avoid the tagline of gambling. So my hope is it
Yep.
scares them into creating a more fair trade-off system for your packs that you get online, because
But see, what's also pretty. Oh, go ahead.
I don't want to I don't want a system Hearthstone like. Is just a little bit worse of a percentage away from me just not playing the game because it you get such a small payoff on the cards that you do get. So like I don't buy booster packs, but it would be atrocious if I bought a booster pack. I'm like, oh, I could trade in these three booster packs and get like one average blue card.
I think it's also pretty interesting too if they do move forward with that type of legislation, like the traditional booster pack might actually be a risk because in Canada, it's already considered gambling. Like all the Magic tournaments that you play in up there, you actually get the equivalent of the boosters basically. So whenever you're entering a tournament, like I got $75 worth of boosters and playmat. Like they had like some write-offs. They said the playmat costs like $15, but you get the gist. Like there's already government entities that are like, hey, look, we like actually see what you're doing. So
Yeah, that's.
hopefully, Magic will be safe in the US or they can figure out some system like what Canada
Yeah. I
has.
mean, it's the basis of the dice roll rule. You get DQ'd if you roll a dice. I mean, I've been DQ'd once at FNM for rolling a dice back before I knew there was actually a thing. I knew it was against rules at competitive events, but I was like, oh, it's a casual event, whatever. I didn't really care. The opponent said it. I was like, sure, fine, whatever. I don't really care. And so we both got DQ'd, and I had to get explained to him. I was like, why are you DQing me at an FNM? Like, I didn't actually cheat. I said nothing rude. Like, everything was fine. But it's because they work really, really hard to stay away from the gambling perspective. So if it starts going that way, like Battlefront could actually cause problems for Magic, and make them have to reevaluate how they do stuff. So, but speaking of DQs and just in general things, we have had plenty of issues coming up this week in Magic. It started with Christine Sprankle, famous cosplayer or within the Magic community famous. She's basically the poster child of community of Magic the Gathering lore. I know I remember most at GP Vegas, one of the years I didn't go. I think it was Vegas, it might have been somewhere else where they were announcing the return to to Innistrad, and she dressed up as an evil Avacyn, and they had like this little mini haunted house escape room, and it was like a whole big thing.
That was GP Detroit.
Was that
That was
Detroit?
so sweet to see live. Yes,
Yeah, it
yeah.
was so. I got. I
That was
saw.
the Eldrazi winner GP.
Oh, okay. See, I watched the videos of it, and I was like, "This is a really cool way to do it." And her costumes, I'm friends with many cosplayers. I know a lot of cosplayers who like they don't do it to they don't do it for like a negative reason. Her cosplay costumes aren't like overly sensualized versions that aren't great for a kid's game. They're very accurate to the card. They're very good to the lore. They're very hard made. She spends a lot of time working on them, it looks like, because they're very detailed. And she's recently caught a lot of flack to the point where she's actually stepping away from the game. She's selling off all her product. She's shutting down her Twitter account. She's finishing off the last couple of visits, but she's actually posting that she's selling her cosplays from Magic the Gathering online, and that she's just done because she's been harassed so much. And attacked so much, which is negative. And it's not just her, because we've also had an issue recently with a Facebook group where they are drafting women based off attractiveness. And so I mean it's attacking groups in the game that need to be protected. Not saying to say they shouldn't be protected, but it shouldn't be a situation that has to even be considered. We shouldn't have to think how should we protect these people because of the environment we're
Yeah,
in.
exactly. Like we should already be a welcoming community for everyone.
Exactly, because Magic, it makes it very clear the competitive aspect of Magic is a very small percentage of the game as a whole. The majority of your game is taking place on kitchen tables and so forth. And so we have kids, we have special needs, we have people with just different sexual orientations, different genders, different everything showing
Races,
up,
yeah,
different races,
everything.
different nationalities. It's supposed to be a game that is bringing all the world together. You look at a Pro Tour and you see people who are speaking languages from all over the country, flags from all over the country next to their name. And so we're supposed to be something that's really bringing everything together, but instead, this group of Magic the Gathering members have turned it into where it's really like I've talked to people who said like they really have no desire to play Magic outside of with people they personally know because Magic players are the worst. And it's unhealthy. Now,
Well, I think that a lot has to come from the perception of like Twitch and stuff too. Like the Twitch chat during the PT, I know is like
it's
terrible.
atrocious.
And I know they've been working on it, but
Yeah.
it's just insane like how negative some of those people can get.
Yeah, I
I mean,
mean.
like I'll be in the chat like watching and enjoying it, but there's like really nothing you can do. It like you can't engage them because it
No.
makes them angrier, and it's like you can't really get your own word in, like, oh, like this is really well done, this is really cool. Like I save that for surveys. I like don't share it. because there's just no point.
No, and like I've never been on stream. I've only been stream coverage once, and the one time I was on stream coverage, I like immediately like I'm glad to never do that again, because I lost the match in three. It was a close modern matchup with Eldrazi Tron. I was on Eldrazi Tron versus Fish. I made like two mistakes where I missed triggers. One of them was not a really big obvious mistake. The other one was that was just a flat out miss. But I would just got roasted. And the fact is, if I'm getting roasted for play mistakes in a Twitch chat, that's like a good day. Because it like everything else is either they're accusing you of cheating or they're attacking you for how you look or what you have put together. I got mocked for my land choices. And it like it's just people just like they're actively going after it. But as a community, so like what's your stance even? As a community, are we really as bad as we look?
No, I mean, I don't think so. In most communities, the people who are the loudest are going to be those who are negative, because those are going to be the people who like set the tone for everything. Like League of Legends is like widely known for being like pretty toxic, just because of how the game is set up. Like you have a long time, someone makes a mistake, everyone gets mad at them because they just effectively like wasted their time. And in far as like what that community is concerned, now. We just need to be better at calling it out, really. So, like, if you were ever at a GP or if you're ever at an FNM and you hear someone like say something that's, unacceptable, you should be like, "Hey, man or woman, like, let's not do that. Like, that's not okay for yada yada reason or something." Or you'll like get the like tournament organizer or the store owner involved and be like, "Hey, look, like, this person's making me feel uncomfortable for yada yada reason. Can you like help out with this?" Like, it's just the little things that you need to be calling out. Like, I can't just let them slip by. Otherwise, we're going to get into a problem like this.
Yeah, so I mean, the conversation about how we can cultivate the better community, and it's I think you calling it out is important. Part of the danger of calling it out is I've also seen situations where somebody's saying something that's derogatory, somebody's saying something that's inappropriate, someone else or myself says, "Hey, man, that's not cool," and we call them out, and then it becomes an argument between myself and that person or whoever or whichever the people are involved, and it becomes like a heated argument because that person's like, "No,
And
I'm not
that's why
going
you
to
should
stop."
always get the next level.
Yeah, that's why you
Always get a
just
judge or
you.
someone
Yeah,
involved.
you never fight that fight, because then to anybody who's in the room, so if they say it, they say, "Okay, that person just uses derogatory sentence and that's terrible." Then you go to try to defend that and stop that kind of conversation, and that person elevates, and instead of you just going, "You know what, you're not worth it," if you elevate with them, now the kid in the room, the 10-year-old kid learning to play Magic, 11-year-old kid learning to play Magic that's in your FNM, is like, "Okay, so that's a word that I get written sent to the office if I say it at school," and then now these two grown people are screaming and shouting using cuss words and about to fight. I don't know if I want to be here. More importantly, their parent doesn't know if they want to be here. And the big thing a lot of people miss out on is if we can't get our community better and more accepting, our game dies. Like we
I
need
mean, because yeah,
Wizards
you
isn't going
need
to
the
print
new
it
influx of
for
players.
yeah. If we have 500 toxic players and that's all that we have left. And so those people are buying individual singles and that's it. Wizards is not going to keep printing Magic cards for them. They're not going to print Magic cards if all that's left is a small patch of angry, disgruntled people. You've got to have
But
more
keep in
acceptance.
mind, like the play start those within your own play group. Like once you get to an FNM or like a GP level, like yes, you should still be calling it out, but it's just like something simple. Like if you're playtesting with your buddies at home and they like say something that's just kind of like, "Hey, whoa, like, that's not okay." Like you need to, like the more 1v1 call outs, in like a more like casual, like friendlier environment as far as like the conversation goes, like, you're personal, I guess you'd say that's a better way to put it, then the more like chance you have to like grow that understanding of that person, just because like if they're spending the time with you to test or play, then obviously they care about your input or they care, like something about you other than just you're an opponent. So they it's hard to put into words, but like just be nice to each other, guys and
Yeah,
gals. Like just be better.
I mean,
You can do it.
there's a level of like roasting your friends that like I understand and like that's a thing and I get it.
Yeah, it's like playful, but you should never,
Yeah,
take it too far.
I definitely, it's also one of those things I think you should be mindful of your surroundings, and it should never be a roasting to somebody you don't know. And so that's where part of our Facebook problem is that was going on is people were saying very inappropriate things about people they didn't honestly know. Whereas I have some good friends and in one-on-one, in private, in a message, they might call me something, I might call them something, nothing super derogatory, just say like, hey man, your hair looks stupid, that kind of stuff. And we'll have those conversations one-on-one in private, but I do my best to avoid any conversation like that in a shop because I don't want to put off that persona. It creates an environment of it.
Yeah.
But and
You just
it
have to be careful though, because if you let that private become like commonplace for you, like that whenever it starts to slip out. I know like you can like guard yourself pretty well because I mean, like based on like what your job is and stuff, like you have to, but like that's not necessarily the same for everyone.
Well, and so
Like
that's my
people's filters vary wildly.
well, that's the next step is I used to have a problem where I was very salty at magic and I took magic very seriously because I really wanted to succeed and I still do. But I was the kind of guy who like if I lose a match and I feel like anything didn't go my way, I was not very friendly, I was not very consolable, and I still have such frustrating games and things like that, but I feel like I've gotten a lot better about not being somebody who people leave and it's been an unpleasant experience. But if you are that kind of person, the best steps you can do is whatever you are identifying as I'm doing this or people are telling me I'm doing this is you start eliminating things. If people say you're being hostile, there was an article not that long ago on Channel Fireball that talked about terminology that needs to be removed from Magic. And some of it I didn't fully agree with, but there's certain people who do need to. So if you find yourself being hostile, one of the words in there that I didn't feel like I had a big problem with was he said you need to remove the term kill from Magic the Gathering. Well, I agree. I don't think I want to ever use the term kill towards my opponent because that is you know even though it's a small things add up, but kill a creature saying like oh I'm gonna Doomblade this creature, yeah I don't mind using the word kill towards that. But if you find yourself someone who gets frustrated and gets worked up really easy and gets angry and has a temper issue, maybe taking violent terminology out of the game will help keep your mind from going that direction. Instead of saying I kill your creature, be like, oh, I'm gonna destroy it, or I'm gonna cast this card on it. It puts it in the graveyard or whatever. And that way, even though it sounds silly, just try your best to whatever your weakness is, pull that out of your terminology. Where there's other terms that have no business in the game, have no business being used. Anything that is about objectification, about race,
Yeah, like
about class,
any
any of that
slur
stuff.
or anything that you'd have.
Yeah, that's all got to be out of the game entirely. That has no place, and that's just something that the community needs to get better at and needs to make sure that we understand it's not accepting of. And part of it is I was having a discussion earlier. Whenever we are having these conversations, I almost slipped and said at the beginning of the episode, I'm trying my best to no longer use the word drama when I talk about something very serious. So, for example, whenever the Facebook group was objectifying women based off of how they look. I had started reading an article, and the article was not condoning it. But the first sentence they said was, "There's more drama in the Facebook community again." And it might be because I'm a teacher and I teach elementary school. It might be just the terminology I'm used to. But when I hear the word drama, and a lot of people I know agreed with me, the natural connotation is people overreacting, being dramatic, over-exaggerating. It's something that's not good, but it's not really the end of the world. Everything will be fine. And so when I read an article that starts with the word drama, the reason I thought of this, I immediately started kind of going, oh, well, here we go. When really it was a very real problem. Because I had read an article about the exact same topic from somebody else who didn't use the word drama. And they said, look, there's some really bad harassment going on. And I was far more upset reading that article than the second article. And so it just don't sugarcoat it either. You don't need to repeat terrible things that you're hearing in the middle of a store. But at the same time, if you go to a store owner and go, hey, that person's using inappropriate language, I would suggest having the bravery to be like, look, I'm not saying these words. I want to talk to you one-on-one in private. Make sure nobody else is around. Like, I'm not saying these words because I agree with these words, but actually say some of the things you're hearing. Get the store owner's attention. Because if you just go, he's having a potty mouth, some store owners are going to be like, oh, you know, I'll talk to him. But if you go up and go, he said this thing, and this thing. There were three kids, two women, and two new people next in the store. There was 40 people sitting around the table. This is derogatory towards a fifth of the people in that room. That starts taking the store owner's attention because no longer is it this distant idea of inappropriate. So I don't know. It's something we need to improve on. I know Wizards said that they were looking for ways to be proactive in the solution, and unfortunately, a lot of this has been happening right at the end of the Thanksgiving holidays. So how much they've been able to actually sit down and have a meeting about what they need to do, I don't know. But I'm hoping they take some steps of something more.
You have to keep in mind, like, stuff like this has been happening for a while. It's just we finally had a catalyst that like brought it to the forefront. And it's very like unfortunate that, you know, Christine is backing out, but at the same time, it helps us move forward as a community because it's like a big eye opener. It's like, look, this has been a problem. It seriously needs to be addressed because it is taking people away from this.
Yeah, because we're not addressing enough. It's very similar to the current Hollywood and political environment where
Yep.
now we've got the ball rolling. The problem is we as a community and Wizards as a company needs to not let that ball hit a wall. Like they need to,
Yeah.
they don't need to get in the way of it from a PR standpoint and go, we need to slow this down. They need to run with it and say, we need to borrow, but like just knock everything that's a problem out of the way with this. Like, don't stop this trend, get it all cleaned out. That's the worst thing they could possibly do is do a couple PR things and try to hide it and brush it away and like talk to those people, suspend them for a couple months. That would be the worst step they could do. They need to actively pursue a fix, and find and the problem is it's gonna be a hard thing to fix because it's so ingrained because it's gone so long unchecked.
Yeah, I mean, it's also just like refining a community, which you're always going to have the negative people. You just need to figure out a way to like get the word out that, look, this isn't okay. And I think they're doing a good job of starting that. So I'm excited to see where they go with this and, you know, helping, you know, heal this wound. And
I would personally like to see him
yeah.
doing trying to more actively plug
Yeah, like positive
positive
sources.
material
Yeah.
sources. Even and the problem is then we have all these sponsorship issues, and so they don't want to plug people who are sponsored because now they're supporting this group over this group. But if you can find people, it's like, hey, look, you have a good thumb on the community. We would like you to do some videos for us for Wizards on Wizards website. Streams or podcasts or anything like that, we would like you to not have your sponsorships involved in these because we want these 100% neutral from Wizards trying to show people the way we want our players to act. It's
They
like
have actually been doing that too. If you've like seen the highlights of the week, but I mean, they're still in the growing stages of that.
yeah, they just need to go a little more ham. It's kind of like as an educator, like that's we're taught we need to model the proper behavior. And so we need to start seeing
Yeah.
models of the proper behavior because the problem is the majority of models we have now aren't great. And it definitely doesn't help that like a lot of the faces of the game and a lot of those models pretty shortly later come out as having a lot of issues such as cheatings and things like that. So that doesn't help at all. But it would be nice if this actually causes more spur for change as opposed to just kind of getting brushed away. Because there's been times every few months where you get an article about from a female player who says, I've been objectified, or this has happened, or this has happened. But now we have like very obvious in your face things that are happening and needs to be tackled.
Yeah, it's not something that can be hidden. Yeah.
So moving forward, don't beat a dead horse. I know there's been a lot of articles on it. But we definitely want to just hear what your take is. If you got ideas for ways to improve this community, to fix the community, things that we need to do, definitely please reach out and let us know. We're always looking for to have those kinds of discussions. But Steven and myself, I know we've got coming up not this weekend but next weekend, we've got Modern GP Oklahoma City, which is a very stable, healthy three deck format, correct?
What modern are you playing, man? It's all
Oh
over the
man,
place.
it's wild. Like you can just play against anything. I played against Titan. It was like not Titan Shift. What was like Amulet Bloom back in the day? It was Amulet Bloom without Bloom. So like they were playing all the bounce lands and stuff. It was I was real confused. I won, but they had all the packs and everything. But like the formats were real open, so it's really hard to metagame. Most people in Modern are gonna say that you should not metagame. You should just play the deck that you know, play the deck that you enjoy, that you have reps with, and just try to get successful with it. That's never been my style. I'm trying to get better at doing that, but I like to move decks based off any small trend I think I can exploit in the format. I really want to jump all over it. So we're gonna do our best to look at some of the bigger decks in the metagame. We're not gonna cover everything because Magic's like an 80 deck modern format. But we're gonna look at seven of the big beasts, talk about why they're strong and how you can attack them. And then if you are gonna metagame, what are we gonna do? We're gonna discuss that at the end. So our first deck we're going to look at has been enemy number one for like the last couple months. And it is in the form of Grixis Death Shadow. So quick run over, what is Grixis Death Shadow trying to do?
So Grixis Death Shadow relies on the creature Death Shadow, which is a 13 thing, but it's minus X equal to, oh sorry, yeah, that's right, equal to your life total. So once your life total goes below 13, it starts having power and toughness. So you're looking to do a lot of self-inflicted wounds, like your fetch lands and shocking, even if you don't need the shock land untapped. Like you're just looking to try and get your life total low as possible while disrupting your opponent. So you're going to be playing things like Thoughtseize, Acquisition of Kozilek, Stubborn Denial, and what, there's one
The
other.
big Fatal Push was the biggest addition.
Yeah, Fatal Push was the other one. Yes.
And then so it has the potential of playing, it's never a 13-13, but like a 10-10, if you're a two. But then also it fills its graveyard so fast that you've got Tassigers and Gurmag Anglers. The mana is pretty a low mana count, so it's not playing any top end spells. Everything wants to be 1 and 2 mana to play it. It's a deck that I'm personally always been a big fan of. I love decks with Street Wraith and Jataxian Probes back when it was legal and modern, because I'm all for you have to play a 60-card deck because they want to have a little bit of variance in the game. You can't have this streamlined shell. Well, whenever you play free draw spells, pay 2 life, draw a card, you're not paying any mana, your deck now becomes 56 cards because you have four empty slots in the Street Wraiths. And actually, I tested the deck online a couple days ago, and I got a few wins by playing a Street Wraith against a Jund opponent and attacking for three unblockable. But the deck is really efficient at disruption, playing a big threat. But where would you say its weaknesses? What kind of beats up on it?
You can hit them with graveyard hate a little bit that like stops their plan B, but really being able to like lob burn spells at them is a good place to start because they're gonna be doing most of the work for you. So like burn and affinity can have some pretty good matchups because affinity cares and this deck can't deal with them very well. You just chip in once or twice with the cranial plating and you're good to go. Keep in mind you have to dodge the fatal pushes, but if you're able to like navigate that well enough, like you have the blink moths inks, Ornithopters and the Scourge, the 1/1 flying lifer. I can't remember it off the top of my head,
Vault Scourge.
but it's just yeah, you just chip in, and that's how you beat this deck.
It's got a lot of decent interaction, but a lot of the interaction's 1-for-1 effects. So decks like that are pretty good at just kind of going wide, sticking something, and forcing them to answer it. So that's definitely the case. Like if you're gonna beat it, you don't want to try to play their because their deck is really fast. So if you're trying to play 1-for-1s and they're playing 1-for-1s, but they have all the discard spells, so it's real tough for like a control deck to consistently interact with them unless they have a lot of removal spells. So moving forward, we also have a classic villain in the format that hasn't been around much, but recently online it's been climbing according to MTG Top 8 to being one of the bigger played decks would be just Trutron. Nothing's no weird spaghetti, just Trutron. And so with this deck, we're looking to piece together three lands, Urza's Mine, Urza's Power Plant, and Urza's Tower, which if those three lands are in play, they produce 7 mana combined. And your turn three Karn is basically its nut draw. If it can turn three have Tron in play, untapped with Karn getting cast, the deck is pretty hard to stop. It's real good against mid-range decks because if they can't put enough pressure on them quick enough, eventually they're able to play all his Dusts and Ulamogs and Ugins and white boards and just slam something big that the opponent can't take care of. It's historically a little weaker against something that's really aggressive, like such as or anything that can interact with mana, your Blood Moon effects, your Spreading Seas, and your aggro decks like Affinity and Burn, because they just get underneath the interactions the deck does have. Would you say that's a
And
pretty good
Infect is
summary?
also pretty good against Tron.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
I definitely agree.
Yeah, Infect's pretty good because it's got like three dismembers and the rest of its interactions is sorcery speed. So they have all these protection spells. They do occasionally run some number of Walking Ballistas, so that can be a little awkward for Infect. If they activate the Walking Ballista on their own turn as opposed to doing it on Infect's turn, because then the pump spells don't do much.
Or you can just wait till after combat, something like that.
That's after combat or on your own turn is when you want to attack the Infect deck. Not one of the ones we're going to be covering.
Exactly.
It is climbing way back up in power though.
Yeah, it is
So,
pretty interesting that Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, no. It's just interesting this coming back because we are starting to get some of these mid-range control decks, and so it's starting to show back up. But one of the decks that is good versus Tron is we have Champion of the Parish with his many, many colors of different humans that is really woken up through was it what was the new land that really gave this deck more gas?
Unclaimed territory
Oh, okay, yeah. So
out of Ixalan.
Cavern of Souls 2.0. Could tap
Mm-hmm.
it. This can actually tap for colorless mana and colored mana, and it can cast spells of any color if it's the creature type you chose. Basically, Cavern without the uncounterable clause, correct?
I don't think you can cast changeling spells or
Oh.
no. Sorry. Actually, I don't think there is any like instant sorcery that has a type that can
There
be associated with a creature. I don't believe so.
is. There's like Nameless Inversion
Oh
because it's like a
yeah, nameless
shapeshifter.
inversion.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, but it's. So that
But I'm
actually
pretty
could.
sure it only applies to creatures.
Okay. So, but it's nothing. This deck only plays four non-creature spells. We've got
Yeah,
four Aether
right.
Vials to cheat our dudes into play and dodge your counter magic. And then we are just flooding the board with humans and trying to find ways to make them bigger. Thalia's Lieutenant was real big as an addition out of the Avacyn Restored block. When it comes into play, all your
Yeah.
other humans get a 1/1 counter. Their best hand is when they go turn one on the play Champion of the Parish, because that guy becomes a 5/5 or 6/6 on turn three so easy. So if they don't have like Path or Fatal Push, Dismember and Bolt don't always get there. And if they're dismembering it, they're dealing 4 damage themselves
That's
to get rid
gonna
of a
hurt.
1/1. Yeah, it's fine. And personally, a lot of my difficulty has been like Kitesail Freebooter has been a little bit tricky because it's a human, it's a flyer, and he gets to take my removal spell. But whenever they go Kitesail Freebooter into Mantis Rider, the wheels they just start falling off because this guy's got
Yeah.
haste. And then they play Thalia, Guardian of Thraben to make my spells that do interact not do it so much. So unless I'm blocking with creatures, it's real tough to keep up with their creature count. So if you're gonna try to attack this deck, how are you gonna attack it?
So this one, I think you're best off like playing something like Titan Shift, so that you kind of keep up with their speed, and then you have the impactful spells like either go Anger the Gods and Bolts to, and you have your Valakut to hit their creatures. Although typically, if you're to the point where you have five mountains and a Valakut, you probably should have them already dead or you're dead. I don't know. I haven't actually really figured this one out. I think Lantern Control is pretty good against it because you just stick an Ensnaring Bridge and most of their guys are too big because of their pumps.
Yeah.
So that's a nice thing.
The Noble Hierarch is
But yeah,
tricky, but it is a
Master
human, so like a lieutenant
beats
puts a
all.
counter on it. So it it's got some weird spice. It runs four meddling mages, so sometimes like they can Kitesail Freebooter you,
Oh yeah,
know what you have in
jeez.
hand to play a meddling mage, so you can't interact. And so if you're tapped out when they start to play Kitesail Freebooters and meddling mages, then sometimes they blank two removal spells in your hand, and so that can be real
Yep.
tough. Nothing's worse than having to kill a 2/2 so you can kill their 6/6.
Yeah.
So the deck is picking up a lot of steam, a lot of popularity. Whether or not it's gonna be consistent, I don't know. It's not as great against like Supreme Verdict, but if they Meddling Mage name your Supreme Verdict, now you've got this whole big issue to run into. So I don't know. It's a deck definitely to watch that's been picking up steam slowly online. Another deck that is a classic that is due for a ban anytime now because we can't go
Oh,
6 months
really?
without a ban, would be Storm. Magic the Gathering loves to ban pieces out of Storm. They've banned pieces out of Storm when Storm hasn't been winning before. It's just kind of their hobby. So
Fair enough.
Storm is our classic deck, which is, hey, I want you to sit back for 15 minutes while I play my turn, and I'm gonna play as many spells in a row, almost like you're in a storm of spells, and then I'm gonna storm off and grapeshot you or make a bunch of 1/1s for a one turn kill. Its big additions. It had Goblin Electromancer to reduce your spells by one, and now it also has Baral to reduce your spells by one. And then it's been running a Gifts of the Ungiven package to go with its Past Inflames, and so it has this ability to win. I think it can occasionally win on turn two, but pretty consistent turn three and turn four wins, in my experience.
Yeah, you have to have a pretty solid hand for turn two.
Yeah. The hand has to
You
be
have to
nuts for
have
turn
the
two.
ritual plus Manamorphose plus Mancer cheat.
Yeah, it's not an easy process. I've done it like once or twice. It's a lot harder, but even turn three wins, it's pretty dangerous. It can do turn three
Yep.
without a lot of work unless you have to interaction, It's getting kind of held down a little bit by, which is scary because it's doing really well still. But Grixis Shadow with their 6 to 7 discard spells kind of help keep this Dexamine in check. Being able to go in, pick out their pieces, or Chalice of the Voids from Eldrazi Tron are pretty effective occasionally, but sometimes they have ways around it. So it's pretty
Yeah, and it's
tough.
hard to hit it on too all the time.
Yeah. I actually had the rough experience of, I think I like Graft Digger's caged my opponent, and so he waited 2 turns and then he still went off, and the way he was able to get his grape shot out of his graveyard was just a Noxious Revival it and put it back on top of his deck.
Oh,
And I was like, oh,
jeez.
okay. So the deck definitely has game. The difference in play from a good player to a bad player, very big gap right there. But for this deck, either you want to race it real fast or you need some way to interact it. Leyline and Sanctity is not a bad plan unless they bring in and they try to empty the Warrens and make a bunch of 1/1s. So there's a lot of things. It attacks from a lot of angles, and it's just very efficient with all the draw spells. So, another blue-based deck, a deck that I've been playing online and actually has been feeling pretty good, is your Jeskai tempo lists. They kind of vary as far as what the lists look like. Some of them are running Geist of St. Traf, some of them are not. I'm kind of on the fence. But it's just like normal blue control deck. You're running Cryptic Commands. The list I have up on here actually has a, doesn't even have a,
Lingering
it has a
Souls.
Lingering Souls. I feel like that has to be a
That's pretty
typo.
interesting.
Yeah, that has to be a typo
Yeah.
because I don't have a black source in this list. Copy and pasted it off MTG
That
top
seems
eight.
very strange.
Yeah, but no clue. I mean, I pasted off top eight, and maybe he's just Snapcaster flashing back the hard cast version of Lingering Souls. Who knows?
Seems sketchy.
Yeah, but I mean, 1/1s flyers are really good right now. So I mean, I could see
I
running it. I
agree.
don't know if this is actually accurate and that's supposed to be something different, but the deck's really efficient. You got a lot of card fixing in your in Serum Visions, and if you decide to run Opt and Electrolyze, Cryptic Command has proven to be really good right now for me. Vendilion Click's been okay, and Snapcaster Mage is always phenomenal. And you also have a pretty good sideboard with Stony Silences and Rest in Pieces if you want them. You have Pitfall Traps if you don't want to exile the graveyards, and you have Supreme Verdicts and things like that. So there's a lot of ways to attack the format. You just have to. This is a metagame deck. Like, you're gonna want to adjust your list semi based off what's popular. You can't completely overhaul because the metagame's too diverse, but some work in order to get it down a little bit.
Yeah, and that's why it's so hard to play control at the moment, is just because of how diverse the game is.
Yeah. So the fact this has been
Like,
successful at
is it
all
a
is pretty
Spreading
impressing.
Seas week or is it a Mana Leak week?
Yeah. Exactly. And it also runs some Logic Knots, which have been impressive to me for the most part. The only time it's been awkward is I've tested this list the other day that had no Geist. I was running 2 Vendilion Clicks and 1 Torrential Gearhulk, and they cast a spell, and the only counter spell I had in my graveyard was a Logic Knot, and I had a Gearhulk in hand, and I was like, I can't actually do that. That doesn't work. So that's unfortunate. But otherwise, the Gearhulk's been great. So who knows? Definitely a deck worth watching if you like control and you want to hop around and maneuver your deck to play if you think you can watch the metagame pretty well. One of the classics that I've always loved playing are the Spaghetti Monster Trons. This deck I feel like has been going down in its success and down is in position because we're seeing a lot more Blood Moon and Spreading Seas and Merfolk and Supreme Verdicts and things like that. And so it's gotten a lot worse, but it's still a really strong deck. It still puts up numbers, it still puts up positions, but I just don't think it's as powerful as it was before, but it's still something to be aware of, would be our Eldrazi Tron. So Eldrazi Tron's kind of a weird deck. It's a hybrid of Tron with a little more aggression. How do you attack Eldrazi Tron, Steven?
So typically, you try and go under it, although you're going to need it really quickly. So a deck like Burn or the Tarkas Command Zoo can get to it pretty well. I think what Affinity gives Eldrazi Tron problems,
Affinity and
just because of
Fish
the
are
flyers,
tough.
right?
Yeah, Affinity
Yeah.
is and Fish, if they can stick 1 Spreading Seas and a Lord, can be pretty difficult.
And anything that can really interact with their mana, like you can actually throw Eldrazi Tron off with a Ghost Quarter. But you need it in one of those like first few turns, just because it keeps them from getting like their turn 3 Thought Knots or their turn 4 Reality Smashers. If you can lengthen that in any way and still apply pressure, you're gonna do pretty well.
Yeah. It's a deck that you will see at tournaments, but it's on the downward slope. I wouldn't pick it up currently. I would wait for the metagame to shift a little bit more. But if it's a deck that you like, play it. And if you're going to a tournament, be aware of it because people will play it. Another deck that's also been picking up popularity again recently would be the Collected Company combo value based decks with our new infinite mana combo. Not as demand as like destructive as I thought it was gonna be when it first came out, but still pretty consistent. So how does this combo work?
And pretty annoying.
Very.
So you have multiple combos in this deck, which
Yeah.
is pretty cool that you're attacking from different angles, or at least you have the option to. So like if one gets shut down, it's pretty easy to back up plan. So the main one now is Devoted Druid and Vizier of Remedies. And Devoted Druid allows you to tap for a green mana, then you can put a -1/-1 counter on it to tap it. Well, Vizier of Remedies from Hour of Devastation says that when a -1/-1 counter would be put on a creature you control, reduce the number of -1/-1 counters by one. So you can infinitely tap and untap Devoted Druid to create infinite green mana. And then you have multiple outlets in your deck that let you go and search for your one of Walking Ballista. Like you can Ko-Ko into an Eternal Witness that's your Ko-Ko back, that, like hit something else. So mainly you're looking for your Duskwatch Recruiter so that you can churn through your deck to get the Walking Ballista. And then, heck, if you don't hit that, well, who doesn't like gaining a million life with Viscera Seer, Kitchen Finks, and again, Vizier of Remedies? Because Undying bring, or no, sorry, not Undying, Persist brings back the creature with a -1/-1 counter, while Vizier of Remedies says, don't put the counter on, so then it doesn't have the -1/-1 when it dies again, and just repeats that loop.
Yeah, and this list also has the Rhonas the Indomitable infinite pump. You make infinite mana, give a creature infinite power and toughness and trample, and then pop them right in. So it's got like a lot of ways in the game. Duskwatch Recruiter plus the infinite combo lets you just look through your whole deck until you find exactly what you want and finish the game off. It's a deck that if they have 4 mana, be ready to interact with Ko-Ko resolutions before they can untap and start going ham. Yeah, it's always a beast. So with those 7 decks in mind, they're all pretty diverse, and there's still other decks out there. There's still Dredge, which is on and off popularity. There's Affinity, which has been ticking up in popularity. There's just a wide variety. Burn, surprisingly, is kind of at its lowest, but you will always play a burn player. There's always gonna be somebody there just playing Lightning Bolt, seeing if they can get there.
I mean, even taking turns top 8 at a GP this year, anything's
It's been a
possible.
wild year. So as we're looking for, or towards the future, from somebody who loves to metagame, doesn't want to play the norm, I want to switch it up and do something and attack weaknesses. What would you say are things that the current decks we just looked at have difficulty answering currently? Now, obviously, we aren't looking at their
The majority of
sideboards.
them want. Right. I would say the majority of them have problems with Ensnaring Bridge. Because you're able to stick that against Death Shadow, humans, Tron. Not so much the Ko-Ko deck, but like the deck that's going to be playing Ensnaring Bridge has answers to that. Like I'm going to be on Lantern Control if I can like get all the finer things with the deck down before next. Same with it, and I played it in the past, but that's the deck I would be on.
Yeah, see, I've got months of experience with that deck. I've played it for almost a year. I haven't played the newest War of Invention version, but I've been playing a lot of versions of the deck. I want to test it out a little bit. The only problem you run into with the deck is like you do have time in round that you have to be really vigilant with your opponent. But it's not even the vigilant with the opponent. I don't mind doing that. Is that it is tiring playing that deck because you're constantly, I need you to pass me priority. I need to pass you priority. I need you to pass me priority. I need you to pass you priority. And you're just like this constant back and forth. And the worst feeling in the world is when you run into the one person who's like, I'm not going to lose to artifacts today. And you're like, oh, joy, here we go. Now, the new war version, though, has a lot of game because as they go to blow up your bridge, you were in another bridge. As they go to blow up your bridge, you were in a welding jar and stopped them from blowing up your bridge. So it does have a lot of interactions. And right now, I've been playing Affinity the last few weeks because my finger on the format has been because I was on Eldrazi Trump for a while, I was on Tezzeret, Thopter Foundry. I was on Dredge, doing pretty well with Dredge, and then these Ko-Ko decks started popping up, so I started getting a little more worried about Rest in Pieces. And so I moved to Affinity because a lot of decks had 1 to 2 Affinity Hate cards in their sideboard, and some of the Affinity Hate cards that they were labeling Affinity Hate cards were like board wipes, like Anger of the Gods and Pyroclasms, which didn't hit Lantern. So, I mean, it might be one of those things where if the Affinity Hate stays down for 2 more weeks, that'd be great. We have the Star City Games this weekend that could impact it. But Lantern could be like a very good call. In addition to that, I do feel like Supreme Verdict Cryptic Command decks are really well positioned because the linear creature decks I think have kind of been pushed down. So if you can interact with a combo spells based deck, or if you can interact with a creature deck that's more mid-rangey, like a Grixis Delver and Eldrazi, and then you could just try to have some answers for the occasional aggro creature deck like Burn and Affinity, you're in a good spot because Cryptic and Supreme Verdict just feel good. Supreme Verdict versus these mid-rangey decks, Cryptic versus the mid-rangey and the control decks and the combo decks, and you just have to be able to hedge your matchup against Affinity and Burn and find a way to close the door pretty quickly if things get a little out of hand. Which Vendilion Click's great because flyers are not to be seen right now. So I don't know. The format is not a format. If you ask anybody, they say do not metagame the format. But I'm stubborn and I want to metagame the format. So I'm gonna continue testing a
I
different deck
mean,
every night.
there's so much. Again, it's like you have to be able to identify these patterns. I think you did a good job at it. And so, if you're one of those people who has that flexibility, yes, I completely agree with you that you should be trying to metagame. But most people aren't like you. And so, I would say stick with what you know, unless you know for certain you can flex on a dime like this and just kind of be like, all right,
Yeah,
we're going
because
with plan C or D today.
the difficulty metagaming is you have to really know what cards do. Like my girlfriend always finds it really funny that I know what all these cards do. But you have to know what cards do because you have to be able to play a matchup if you just randomly switch deck and play it game once admirably, because you're going to need to spend most of your brain power on figuring out how your sideboard's supposed to look if you're hopping decks week and week and week. Because you can't always find good lists for your sideboard. You don't want to trust the first deck you see. So it's definitely not something recommended, but if you're going to do it, artifacts right now, the hate seems a little bit lower, as well as Cryptic Command and Supreme Verdict seem really strong. But that could
Kind of
change
funny.
in a
My
week.
backup deck is taking turns, and I actually think it would be fine if you're playing the Giga-Drow's Exhaustion version.
Exactly. If you could just make
Like, just
opponents
lock
stumble
people
for a
out of the
turn or
game.
two, you're golden. You just need them to trip up just a little bit, and then you're fine. So I don't know.
You
That's
just
just my
need that
two things.
small window.
Exactly. Yeah, just because right now Modern is all about very few decks. The Jeskai deck is kind of an exception, and so is Grixis. But most decks in Modern, I would say probably about 75 to 80% of decks in Modern are my deck is going to be 54 cards. Or it's going to be my lands, and then it's going to be like I have six spots that I can have interaction, sometimes less. Sometimes, like Affinity, my interaction is like 3 to 5 cards. And so the rest of my deck is all about trying to accomplish my plan. So if you can get that plan to stumble, they don't have a way to stop your plan once you start it. All you have to do is get them to trip. And so the decks that have these interactions and have the ability to stop their plan a little bit, you take game one, and then just you have to find a way to take game two or three, whenever they bring in their answers. And there's so many decks in the format that sideboards are one ofs and two ofs because they can't have enough answers for everything. So they're bringing in and they're just hoping to get lucky. So I definitely am a fan of metagaming. This format is my favorite thing to metagame for. It's also the hardest thing and the most dangerous thing to metagame for. So don't recommend it for everybody.
I'm right there with you. Like, it's just a giant puzzle, and that's what makes it really fun.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. It's like Legacy if I could afford lands. So that'd be great. So, all right. So we're gonna go to call
Hey, you
them.
have some lands to borrow, although it's just lands, not
Except the deck lands.
lands.
Yeah, the actual deck. So we're gonna go ahead and call tonight for tonight. We're gonna try to start making sure we get back every week and get some topics going. Try to keep our episodes 40 minutes to an hour. Don't really want to get back into like the higher quantity time frame, and try to have a little more action in our
Unless that's
videos.
what you guys do.
Huh? Unless that's
Unless that's what they do.
exactly. Yeah, 100%. So that's exactly what I'm saying. If you want to see more action in the videos, you want to see GIFs, you want to see clips, you want to see things like that, let us know. If you don't care about the videos, you just want to have audio, we make both available. But if you get so mad every time you see the video, let us know. If you want bigger episodes, shorter episodes, you'd rather have two small episodes in a week or one small episode in a week, just about metagame or just about the news. We just need to know where the focus should be at. So definitely let us know. At EOT News Flash on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm going to be getting on there to try to share the links to things and get some conversations going about show topics. And then you also can find me on my personal Twitter at Busted Sleeves. And I know Steven has his clever Twitter.
At S. L. Pierce.
Yeah, because you got lucky and your last name's Pierce. So you can follow both of us on there. We will be posting updates on what's going on with GPOKC. If you stop seeing updates, it's because we're dead. So, that's the natural way that it goes.
Oh, we can still post about our side events that we're totally playing in.
Yeah, we could possibly post about some of it. What I mean by is, if a main event you see me go like 2-0 after the buys, 3-0, 4-0, and then you stop seeing posts, understand either I have no phone service or I've died and I'm no longer alive in the tournament. And so in that case, post some sad reacts on the previous posts because it means that didn't go very well. So, but yeah, we definitely looking for feedbacks. And if anybody would be interested in suggesting topics, or we have listeners who are interested in Skyping in for an episode and they feel like they have something to contribute, please definitely reach out. We're very open to any new ideas. We just want to keep it up, keep it diverse, and keep it unique from a lot of the other shows around. So that's what we're gonna try our best to do. But otherwise,
Definitely. And then once the holiday cube kicks up, we're gonna do some more streaming.
yes, we'll do more streaming. Once now that I've got some school things taken care of, I'm gonna get back into streaming online. So I'll be streaming Modern and Standard. I'll stream some Cube. I'm gonna try to get better at playing Draft and Sealed, so I'll stream some of that as well. If there's a format you like, let us know, and we'll stream them. But again, both of our Twitter handles, we'll tweet whenever we get on there to do it, and we'll start sharing it on the EOT page as well.
Definitely. Now remember, hashtag Force Storm.
Hashtag which?
Force Storm?
Force Storm. No, we're not forcing Storm. I forgot about that. We're, don't draft good, don't draft silly. That's the goal, all right?
Hey
So
man, sometimes you gotta get that eighth pick tendrils in pack three and just relish in the fact that you got there.
I remember watching LSV do a cube draft that's completely unrelated, where he forced Storm all the way into pack three and there were no Storm cards. So he just made this like blue red Tippo Palkia deck. Like that's all he was doing. He was just playing Palkia and trying to get there. It was amusing to watch. I don't know if it was actually if I learned much, but it was amusing to watch. So
It's
you can get
called
entertainment.
draft recovery.
Exactly. You have to find a way to salvage. So that's the big trick to learn. All right. So we're gonna go ahead and shut it down. First episode, we're not gonna undo it. So what's our slogan, Steven?
All right, we'll see y'all next week when we and let's do it again.